Fanon had put it, any occupation is an act of violence, and we need to react in also in a violence way. That's the only way to resist this occupation. Yes, I believe in the popular resistance, and the both intifadas, the first one and the second one, it started as a popular resistance by the Palestinian people, but at the same time, we do need all kind of other sorts of resistance to exist, and the Palestinian Authority is committing a huge mistake by preventing Palestinians from practicing their own resistance. Now, that would come to an end, which would, might be, you know, very bad, especially that the Israeli occupation and settlers are continuing on a daily basis in, you know, attacking the Palestinians and grabbing the land. And what is the answer by the Palestinian Authority? It's just, you know, trying to calm down the situation and try to say, yeah, we will resist by the popular resistance. This is not enough, and we believe that sooner or later, and what happened yesterday or the few days ago, last Friday, on Jenin, as the incident that you mentioned, that the Palestinian resistors, they started even shooting at the Al-Muqata'a, at the headquarter, the Palestinian headquarter of the security forces in Jenin, and today everyone was commenting on that, is showing that if the Palestinian Authority is continuing with this kind of line in not attacking the Israeli troops and allowing the settlers in doing so without any kind of resistance, definitely the Palestinians are going to go further in their resistance.
Definitely. When they see that there is no real resistance on the ground, they will make their own way to resist. I want to thank you very much, Dr. Nimr Saad, academic at Bir Zeit University and political analyst, for joining us to talk about the latest very risky situation in the West Bank, with all hopes and support for the Palestinian people, for academics like you, and for the youth like those who are resisting this Zionist aggression. I want to thank you very much. Thank you for being with us, and thank you for your time. Please stay tuned next week on the Mideast Stream. Salam.
In the limelight.
It is now for the UN to earnestly strive for ending the crisis by condemning the Saudi aggression and supporting the people of Yemen, instead of merely saying that 24 million Yemenis are in dire need of humanitarian aid, including 10 million suffering from extreme levels of hunger, says Kayhan International staff writer in an article published under the heading "No Military Solution to Saudi War Upon Yemen." Stay tuned for the details of this article, please. There is no military solution to the war imposed upon Yemen by Saudi Arabia and the UAE, which is now in its seventh year with terrible destruction of the infrastructure, huge loss of life, displacement of millions from their homes, and famine staring in the face. These are the sufferings of the aggressed nation, the Arab world's most impoverished, whose death toll, either through war or related issues, stands at almost 400,000 men, women, and children. But this ghastly catastrophe inflicted by the aggressors has failed to break the iron resolve of Yemen's steadfast defenders. Of course, the invaders, especially miserably rich Saudi Arabia, have also suffered extensive damage, not because of the hundreds of billions of petrodollars squandered in a vain bid to subjugate Yemen, but because of the relentless retaliation with drones and missiles by Yemen's legitimate government in Sana'a, led by the popular Ansarullah movement, on strategic industrial and military sites of the aggressors. The regime in Riyadh, though it has air superiority to bomb, destroy, and kill the Yemeni people, it has realized that all the terrible weapons supplied by the US, Britain, and France at exorbitant prices can never ensure it any victory. It is now looking for a face-saving exit and is holding in direct negotiations with the Yemenis, although its arrogance makes it hard to admit the truth. The Yemeni defenders, for their part, are confident of holding their ground and, if possible, carry the battle to the enemy camp, but would certainly prefer a diplomatic resolution to the conflict, however, neither with Riyadh or Abu Dhabi. They maintain that only intra-Yemeni talks between the various tribal groups, political parties, and religious sectors can provide a lasting solution to the crisis in Yemen. Mohammed Abdus Salam, the chief negotiator of Yemen's National Salvation Government, during his meeting in the Omani capital of Muscat, recently with Iran's foreign minister Hossein Amir Abdullahian, discussed these issues. He thanked the Islamic Republic for its moral support to the besieged people of Yemen, while briefing Iran's top diplomat of the situation in his war-torn country. Amir Abdullahian expressed deep regret over continuation of the war imposed on the Yemeni people by Saudi Arabia and stressed the need for an end to the country's siege and war. He agreed that the problems in Yemen should be settled through intra-Yemeni talks in order to guarantee the unity, independence, and territorial integrity of Yemen without any meddling by outside parties. In view of these undeniable facts, it is now for the UN to earnestly strive for ending the crisis by condemning the Saudi aggression and supporting the people of Yemen, instead of merely saying that 24 million Yemenis are in dire need of humanitarian aid, including 10 million suffering from extreme levels of hunger.
Fruitful Moments with IRIB English Radio. Log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
Supplication is the wealth of the believer and the bridge by which one achieves proximity to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Exalted.
A path to salvation, a way to connect the two worlds. On the program, Bridge.
You're listening to the program Bridge on IRIB English Radio, with Sheikh Al-Musawi.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان اللعين الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد وعجل فرجهم. Brothers and sisters, dear listeners, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, and welcome to the program A Bridge, coming to you from IRIB English Radio, where we look at the supplications of Imam As-Sajjad alayhi salam, which are found in the book As-Sahifat As-Sajjadiyya. We are looking at supplication number 8, where Imam As-Sajjad alayhi salam is seeking refuge in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from jealousy. We are looking at jealousy as a concept mentioned in the Quran, not just the Hadith. And jealousy in the Quran, sometimes it is looked at by itself as a concept. Sometimes it is looked at as something that people do by themselves to each other. And sometimes Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about jealousy being something that the kuffar, the non-believers or disbelievers, they do towards the believers. For example, we see in the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in one of the ayat in Surah Al-Baqarah, وَدَّ كَثِيرٌ مِّنْ أَهْلِ الْكِتَابِ لَوْ يَرُدُّونَكُمْ مِّنْ بَعْدِ إِيمَانِكُمْ كُفَّارًا حَسَدًا مِّنْ عِنْدِ أَنفُسِهِمْ. He says, a lot and the majority of the people of the book, be it the Christians or the Jews or non-believers, they wish that you become disbelievers after you believe. Why, O Allah? He said, حَسَدًا مِنْ عِنْدِ أَنفُسِهِمْ, out of jealousy from themselves. They do understand that the believers are doing something right, something good, something beautiful. And they can see that. But then they can't change themselves. So in return, jealousy kicks in. And they start to be jealous of the believers and the Muslims. And they start to have this hate towards them and want to see them being harmed. And in this ayah, he says, Allah, they wish to see you what? Back, disbelievers. They want to see you disbelieving in Allah once more. That's how much jealousy they have. Why should these people enjoy the blessings and we don't? Let us take a short break and then we come back right after.
Rabbana. A path to salvation. A way to connect the two worlds.
A bridge between Allah and His creation.
A bridge that is meant to take us to Allah, to take us to His proximity. A bridge that is in the form of dua and supplication.
In this program, we offer commentary on the du'as of As-Sahifat As-Sajjadiyyah of Imam Sajjad alayhi salatu wasalam.
The famous book of litanies, the Psalms of Islam.
Bridge.
Rabbana. Rabbana.
Welcome back, brothers and sisters, and you are listening to the program Bridge, coming to you from IRIB English Radio. We said that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about the kuffar, the non-believers, disbelievers, having jealousy towards the believers. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in another verse, He says in Surah Ali Imran verse 120, when He talks about the non-believers and how much jealousy they have, He says, وَإِنْ يَكَادُ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا لِيَزْلِقُونَكَ بِأَبْصَارِهِمْ. Those who disbelieve in Allah, they want, they wish, they try to divert you from where you are by their sight, which is jealousy. They can see the Muslims, they can see the Prophet, they can see all the believers doing all good, and they can't comprehend it. So in return, they have to be jealous. They become jealous. And like we said, such notion is rejected by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, rejected by the hadith, because it is an evil act to be jealous towards other people. Now, instead of being jealous of them, how about you join them? You see the Muslims doing the right thing, doing a good thing. You see it as a beautiful concept. Their lives is changing for the better. Don't be jealous of them. Join them. Join the fun. Be a part of the fun. Because being a believer, being a mu'min, it's a blessing. It's a beautiful thing to be a believer, to be on the side of Allah. It gives you contentment. It gives you happiness. And the non-believers, mind you, they can see that. But they just can't give up the old ways. They can't give up the ways they've been brought. So in return, jealousy kicks in. So in return, jealousy kicks in. Therefore, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells me and you, be mindful, be careful of the concept of hasad, be it from your own kind, your own people from your own faith, or even from a different faith. And Allah says in Surah Al-Falaq, and when he comes to the end, وَمِن شَرِّ حَاسِدٍ إِذَا حَسَدٍ. Seek refuge in Allah from those who are jealous when the jealousy kicks in. Let us take a short break, then we come back right after.
You're listening to the program Bridge on IRIB English Radio.
Welcome back, brothers and sisters, and you are listening to the program Bridge, coming to you from IRIB English Radio. We are still on the concept of hazard in the Quran. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us a classical story of how hazard becomes so devastating to the fact that it might lead people to kill one another. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us the classical beautiful story of Yusuf in chapter Yusuf verse 8. When the brothers of Yusuf realized that their father has more love and gives his son Yusuf more attention than them, their jealousy kicked in. And when it did, it led them to killing their brother, almost killing their brother. إِذْ قَالُوا لَيُوسُفُ وَأَخُوهُ أَحَبُّ إِلَىٰ أَبِينَا. They said that Yusuf and his brother is more beloved to their father from us. وَنَحْنُ عُصْبَةٌ. And we are a group, we're strong. And then, obviously, they said, إِنَّ أَبَانَ لَفِي ضَلَالٍ مُبِينٍ. Surely our father is misguided. But when they noticed such a love towards Yusuf and his brother, they decided that they have to get rid of Yusuf, and even though he was their brother. So the shaitan, out of jealousy, out of hasad, because he was close to his father, they decided to get rid of Yusuf. And then you know the story, how they took him, they threw him in the well, and they pretended that he was eaten by a wolf, and so on and so forth. And Yusuf, being a small child, stuck in a well, I mean, he could have died simply. I mean, if it wasn't for the intervention of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and having him rescued, if he would have stayed for a couple of days, he would have died. He's just a child. So jealousy, it could lead a person to killing another human being. Now, this verse and many other verses, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about jealousy. At the same time, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us verses and ayat that we can use to protect ourselves from jealousy. And Allah says, وَنَنَزِّلُ مِنَ الْقُرْآنِ مَا هُوَ الشِّفَاءُ. And we bring from the Quran that which is a cure. وَرَحْمَةٌ لِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ. And a mercy for believers. Thank you for listening. وَالسَّلَامُ عَلَيْكُمْ وَرَحْمَةُ اللَّهِ وَبَرَكَاتُهُ.
That was Sheikh Al-Musawi in the program Bridge on IRIB English Radio.
هرگز نگیرد تا ابد آقا کسی جای تو را، هرگز مخواد از کف دهم عشق و تولای تو را.
Food for thought.
Hello everyone, and let us ponder on a lamentation by Hazrat Fatima Zahra, peace be upon her, on the injustice done to her and her blessed household. O Father, after you the magnitude of calamities that afflicted me was so severe that it could have turned bright days into dark nights.
Fruitful Moments with IRIB English Radio. Log on to our website www.parstoday.com/en.
Cultural news, social news, scientific news, artistic news. With delight.
The chronic shortage of human organs has always been an issue for patients, especially those suffering from heart diseases. But now a major scientific breakthrough is in the making. U.S. surgeons have successfully implanted a heart from a genetically modified pig into a man. Doctors had said the patient, 57-year-old, was unable to have human transplant because of his health conditions. But now he is recovering from his latest surgery. The surgeons say the man is being carefully monitored to determine how the new organ is performing. But for those who want to know why pigs, here is why. Pigs are considered ideal donors because of their size and rapid growth, among other things.
You know, it is a game changer because, you know, now we will have these organs readily available if this works, and you know, and I hope it will work. We'll have these organs available. We can, you know, we have the technique of genetically modifying. So if there are more tweaking required for modifying the genes, we will be able to do that. And you know, can you know, customize basically the heart for or the organ for the patient.
The transplant is the first of its kind in the world and follows years of research. In the U.S. alone, about 110,000 people are currently waiting for an organ transplant. Also, more than 6,000 patients die each year before getting one. A kingdom of ice and snow. Don't be surprised. It's an international sculpture festival held annually in the Chinese city of Harbin. This year, the venue brims with sports elements in a runner-up to the 2022 Winter Olympics scheduled in Beijing. The annual Winter Festival is the largest of its kind, where sculptors spend weeks using ice and snow to create structures under a given theme. The upcoming Winter Games is the theme this year, as one can visualize giant statues of Bing Duanduan. The adorable panda mascots are major attractions of the exhibition. The chief designer says an ice tower standing in the center of the park features 24 vertical structures, referring to the 24th Winter Olympics.
In terms of the design concept, the sculpture features 24 vertical structures, referring to the 24th Winter Olympics to be held in Beijing. The spiral array form also indicated the proactive spirit of the Olympics. The free and upward effect is a vivid presentation of the Olympic flame.
The annual festival, which is being held for about three decades, usually attracts domestic and foreign tourists. But COVID-19 restrictions have limited the crowds over the past couple of years. Harbin is located in northeast China and receives cold winter wind from Siberia. An average winter temperature there is around minus 17 degrees Celsius.
South Koreans enjoy a wildlife refuge near the Korean Demilitarized Zone. New tours opened in November from the DMZ Crane Peace Town. Frank Smith has more in this report.
A new hiking trail and birdwatching facility opened up in South Korea this past November. DMZ Crane Peace Town created special birding cabins and guides wilderness hikes north of the 38th parallel, near the DMZ, the fortified border with North Korea. The Demilitarized Zone was created with the armistice that ended the Korean War back in 1953. Guard post fencing and a 2 to 4 kilometer wide buffer zone now separate North Korea and South Korea, with that no man's land becoming home to rejuvenated plant and wildlife. Local officials see wildlife tourism as an opportunity to promote inter-Korean peace.
Cranes know no borders. That's why we're promoting the crane as a symbol of peace, as they can freely come and go between North and South Korea.
Each winter, several species of birds, especially cranes, spend time to rest and feed in the area, where there's little development and few people. Officials say more birds have been coming here because of depleted feeding grounds in the north.
Shirwan has wide plains suitable for growing rice. Cranes eat the grain that has fallen after harvest, and it's the best place for cranes because it's located north of the civilian control line.
A safe vantage point to photograph the wildlife is provided at the Hantan River near Yangji Village, attracting birders from far afield.
I left home at 4 in the morning to come here to photograph wild birds, swans and cranes. It's good because there are many mallard ducks and other birds. They fight for food with each other, but it's fun.
Cranes are considered a sacred symbol of longevity and fortune here and designated a national monument. Frank Smith, Cheongwon County, South Korea.
Thank you.
33 lucky green sea turtles get a new lease on life in Indonesia. The turtles were released into the sea off the coast of the island of Bali. Tourists and locals gather to watch the endangered animals go get their way back to the wild. Authorities rescued the reptiles from poachers late last year. The population of green sea turtles has fell sharply in recent years due to excessive hunting and the loss of nesting sites. In Chile, three Andean condors are back in the wild after years of rehab at a rescue center. The vulnerable vultures were released near the Chilean capital, Santiago. Scientists will continue to monitor the birds to make sure they are healthy. Andean condors occupy a special place in Chile. They are, in fact, the country's national bird and a symbol of power and health. The vultures are one of the biggest flight-capable birds in the world, with a wingspan of up to 3.2 meters. Conservationists in several countries are trying to shore up their population.
In Germany, tasty bits of crumbs are all it takes for hundreds of sheep and goats to participate in the campaign to encourage vaccination against COVID-19. 700 farm animals were arranged into a 100-meter-long syringe in a pasture south of Hamburg. The shepherd says she spent several days practicing the herd. The sheep and goats were lured by pieces of bread, which they quickly gobbled up after being released into the field. Helping the shepherd was an organizer who works with a flock to run team training exercises for companies. He says they wanted to do something to grab people's attention and encourage them to get COVID jabs.
Well, if I were to just write it on Facebook, nobody would notice it. And my job is to have company teams leading some thousand sheep from A to B, and I have noticed how enthusiastically the sheep are received, and that it simply reaches people deep inside, which is perhaps not possible rationally, with rational arguments.
Ed Solt says sheep bring out the soft side of people and hopes that this will help convey the message. So far, the campaign has received a positive response, with videos of the sheep arrangement going viral. Official data shows Germany has the lowest inoculation rate among Western European nations. This is mainly attributed to vaccination hesitancy, as well as a small percentage who vehemently oppose getting the jab. Technological change is accelerating today, with robots and artificial intelligence making fast inroads into human lives. A consumer electronics show in Las Vegas is the latest example of the same. From lifelike baby dolls to full-grown human-like robots are on the display. They not only write, cry, laugh, and blink, but some of them speak and react when you tell them something. The most interesting thing about these robots is their reactions, which are just like humans, seeming as if they are real people. The robot makers say soon people will not be scared of these human-faced machines being among them.
Humans are so complex, so making a robot exactly like a human is almost impossible. If we did that, then you wouldn't be scared of it, because you'd just assume it's a human. But you get that uncanny valley just before, where it doesn't quite move like a human, doesn't quite express itself or emote or talk like a human. And that's the uncanny valley. That's the scary bit. If you go further back to something that looks less like a human, then suddenly you like it a lot more.
The robot makers hope that the way these robots are made would help even doctors how to treat and confront children, for instance. They also hope that by adding more human characteristics to these robots, the machines will be at the service of humans more than before.
The Light is a bulletin in which we bring you a lot of interesting news in different fields, like animals' life, cultural events, funny trending news, and more from every corner of the world.
Let's see what's happening in one of the world's oldest festivals. It's called Black and White Carnival, celebrated every year in the Colombian city of Pasto. But it has a lot more than what its name may suggest. The carnival, full of vibrant colors and fun, livens up when people perform music too. Those in attendance even threw talcum powder and foam to add more doses of joy. More things to visit too. Colorful monuments and floats are brought to the streets. An artisan explains what's behind one of the huge sculptures exhibited there.
This commemorates what we are going through right now in the world. The virus, that little thing that brought COVID. We have skulls, people who died, those who are reborn, children, old people, and a lady. That's the whole motif. It's called rebirth.
The event has roots in Spanish and African traditions related to the indigenous people of Colombia. The carnival is aimed at highlighting the diversity of ethnic and cultural backgrounds. Its name symbolizes unity and equality. The festival continues until January the 10th. A zoo in the Netherlands is celebrating the birth of a newborn manatee, a rare event among the endangered species, especially within the confines of captivity. The newcomer was born in a Royal Burger Zoo in a Dutch city of Arnhem. Zookeepers say the birth went smoothly, adding that this is the mother's second calf. The newborn is still too young for keepers to be able to determine its gender, but handlers hope it will be a female. That's because there are only 15 females in European zoos. Manatees are closely related to elephants and are sometimes called sea cows because of their herbivorous diet. These gentle giants are listed as vulnerable to extinction, mainly because of loss of habitat and collisions with boats. Shanghai is one of the most famous cities in the world, boasting an impressive number of tourist attractions. Now, the city is host to a new event that could draw excited visitors. The exhibition includes more than 100 items from Egypt, including 6 golden mummies. The most prized object on display is a 20-year-old female mummy with a gold mask and 2 jewels for eyes. Organizers have also put up for show original works by great European artists such as Raphael and Pablo Picasso.
Chinese astronauts on board the space station have held a unique conference with students, sending them a message that sky is the limit. They hope to inspire students to pursue their dreams and be proactive about their goals. Let's have a listen.
Every one of us went through rigorous selection and arduous training before carrying out space missions. Many people have to wait for several years, dozens of years, and even a whole life. But what deserves praise is that we have never given up, but remain true to our original aspiration, stood the loneliness, and passed the tests.
Ye, who is a first-time space traveler, also encouraged students to be brave in following their dreams. The Chinese astronauts talked about their life, work, and personal experiences. Students from Beijing, Hong Kong, and Macau were given the rare chance to ask their own questions during the Ground Space Conference. China launched Shenzhou 13 into space in October last year. The astronauts are scheduled to stay in orbit for 6 months, which will be the country's longest ever crewed mission.
Today's special.
Assalamu alaikum.
It's special for you. We present to you today.
Raditu billahi
Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. In the name of Allah, the most compassionate, the most merciful. Dear friend, dear listeners, ladies and gentlemen, salamun alaikum. So welcome to this episode of today's special from IRIB English Radio. The topic that we're going to speak about is how can I talk to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Salamu alaikum. Today, Friday, is the 11th of Jamadi al-Thani, 1443 of the Islamic Lunar Hijri calendar, corresponding to the 24th of the month of Day, 1400 of the Islamic Solar Hijri calendar, and the 14th of January, 2022 of the Christian Gregorian calendar. Like other episodes of today's special, we start with the Holy Quran. We choose chapter Maryam, verse 3. We'll listen to it together.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم وإني خفت الموالي من ورائي وكانت امرأتي عاقرا فهب لي من لدنك وليا.
And indeed, I fear the successors after me, and my wife has been barren. So give me from yourself an heir.
La ilaha illallah, la ilaha illallah.
Bless your day with contemplation on the verses of the Holy Quran.
This event occurred at the time when Zechariah was very worried and sad because he did not have a child and he worshipping him, Allah, called upon his Lord secretly. Perhaps the invocation done in secret was for a reason that his people would not scoff at him by saying why that old man wished Allah for a son. Some Islamic literature indicates that the best supplication is that which is asked in secret and the best provision is that which is sufficient. Speaking about the significance of communication with Allah in this part. A person knows that when he is deserted by people, Allah is always there for him, listening to his cries and relieving his plight. He also knows that when nobody cares and listens, Allah is there doing exactly that and coming to his rescue. And that is all that matters. And that is all every individual should ever ask and yearn for. Whenever a believing man reads the Quran, he knows that Allah speaks directly to him. By the same token, whenever he prays, thanks, supplicates, remembers, beseeches, or implores Allah, a believing man knows the weight and profundity of you and he, which he extensively articulates in his communication models. Sheikh Azhar Nasser.
Allah is all-knowing, all-powerful, and He doesn't need you. What are you going to do that is going to please Him? Have you ever thought of it that way? So on the one hand, Allah is very difficult to please. But on the other hand, he's very easy to please. Why is Allah easy to please? It's because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has lowered his expectation. Allah, he's easy to please. Why? Because he has lowered his expectation for us. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not expecting you to worship him like Rasulullah. Allah is not expecting that from you. Allah is not expecting the sisters to be like Fatima al-Zahra. Allah is not expecting that from you. What Allah wants from you is to do what is within your capacity. And in fact, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is so merciful that even when you don't do your best, he still accepts it from you if you just make a little bit of an effort. You know, it's very similar to, you know, the analogy of parents and their children. You know, when you have a little child at home and you want to make them feel like they're contributing, that they're important. So you tell them, Baba, go draw me a house. And this two-year-old, this three-year-old goes and draws a house. It looks like a pigeon, you know, the scribbling, and but they give it to you and says, Bob, I drew a house for you. What do you do? It doesn't look anything like a house. You know, of course, you don't say that to the kid, right? But what do you do as the parent? Because they made that effort, even though it's not even close, you put it on the refrigerator and you say, beautiful, excellent. You praise them. Why? Because they tried. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is like that with us. Allah doesn't expect you to draw the perfect house. He has lowered his expectation. He just says, try. Just come to me. If you try, I'll accept it from you.
IRIB English Radio presents today's special, Every Day for 15 Minutes.
Be like the sun shining with light, be like a rose spreading its fragrance in every part.
Today's special,
be like the earth, humble and wise. Be like the rain, pouring all your love to every soul.
Ways to get closer to Allah at home, okay? We introduce one of them, recitation, lots of du'as, asking lots of du'as and reciting them. Making du'a is such a powerful way to be nearer to Allah. The beautiful thing about dua or supplication for others is that benefit us too. Prophet Muhammad said the supplication of a Muslim for his Muslim brother in his absence will certainly be answered. Every time he makes a supplication for good for his brother, the angel appointed for this particular task says, Amen. May it be for you too. The other way is reading the Holy Quran. There are so many benefits of reading the Holy Quran. The Prophet, peace be upon him and his pure progeny, said, whoever recites a letter from the Book of Allah, he will receive one good deed as 10 good deeds like it. I do not say that Alif Lam Mim is one letter, but rather Alif is a letter, Lam is a letter, and Mim is a letter. That was saying of the Prophet of Allah. This is the time to take the best opportunity to fill in as much time with the Holy Quran. A great way to keep yourself alert and active simply by reciting one page after every prayer or listening to the beautiful recitations while doing you work.
Subhanallah, walhamdulillah. La ilaha illallah, wallahu akbar. La ilaha illallah, wallahu akbar.
have a short look at Prophet's calling to communication with Allah on today's special. Owning to this importance of communication with Allah, each and every Prophet's mission paid special attention to it. Communicating with Allah was seen as a logical, plausible, and natural process, for Allah is a personality, not a mere abstract conception of philosophy, with a nature of His so sublime that it is far beyond our limited conceptions. He exists, but in such a way that He is the ever-living, self-sustaining. He created and sustains the world. And He sent prophets to mend people's ways and create for them suitable communication patterns with the Creator and Master. For example, when Prophet Ibrahim confronted his believing and rebellious people, he, among other things, tried to bring home to them the inappropriateness and danger of polytheism.
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that's why we have many du'as. Where what do we say when we turn to Allah? Ya man yaqbalu al-yaseer wa ya'fu al-kathir. Oh, the one who accepts what is very little, and He forgives the great sins. We've committed major offenses. Allah says, I'll overlook it. I'll accept the little things that you, this salah that you stand up for, you wake up at the time of Fajr, you're half asleep, you're not even paying attention to what you're saying, but you're doing your best. Allah says, I'll accept it from you. Ya man yaqbalu al-yaseer. So Allah, on the one hand, He's difficult to please because He's all-knowing, all-powerful, independent. But He's very easy to please because He has lowered His expectations. That's why in Dua Kumail, Amir al-Mu'mineen, what does he teach us? Ya sari' al-rida. Oh, the one who is quickly pleased. Ya sari' al-rida. Now, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, not only has He lowered His expectation so we can attain His pleasure, but He is always looking for excuses to be pleased with us. So not only has He lowered the bar, He is always trying to give us loopholes to get close to Him. That this is a shortcut for you. Here's another shortcut for you.
That was all for today's special, inshallah. We continue this nice topic on the next episode of today's special. Follow us at parstoday.com/en, today's special. Our topic was about how can we talk to Allah.
I was so far from you, yet to me you were always so close. I wandered lost in the dark. Close my eyes to all the signs you put in my way. I walked every day further and further away from you. Ooh, Allah, you brought me home. I thank you with every breath I take.
What you heard was an IRIB English radio program. Our website is www.parstoday.com/en.
This is IRIB English Radio. Coming up is the news.